Hey, fellow fellow travelers, welcome to episode 282 of the RV Podcast. And this week we meet the executive producer of a Discovery Channel TV show about the RV life, who tells us how RVing has changed his life in the most unexpected way.
A strange thing happened. It really was a transformative period in our lives. And speaking for myself, I mean, a doctor, just recently I had a physical, and my doctor that I had known for 25 years took my blood pressure, and he said, "Oh my God, your blood pressure has never been so low. You must be living some kind of a fantastic life." And I said, "You know what? I am."
Welcome, fellow travelers. It's time for another episode of the RV Podcast.
Answering your questions, sharing tips, suggesting great trips and off-the-beaten-path adventures, and always staying on top of the RV lifestyle news you need to know about with great interviews and inside industry information.
Here's your hosts, award-winning journalists Mike and Jennifer Wendland.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the RV Podcast. Our guest this week in the Interview of the Week segment coming up is Anthony Nally, who shares a behind-the-scenes look at the popular RVers TV series as seen on the Discovery Channel and the PBS Network. Plus, we've got RV news and tips, your questions, and a very interesting off-the-beaten-path report from our friends the Burkitts. We're delighted that you chose to put us in your ears this week, and no matter what kind of an RV you have, a Class A, a Class B, a Class C, a toy hauler, a towable, a tent, maybe you're just dreaming about the RV lifestyle someday. If so, this podcast is for you. And again, thanks for putting us in your ears. So let's check in, first of all, with my lifelong traveling companion and my bride, Jennifer. Hello, my dear.
Hello, Michael.
Well, here we go again. We are off this time on a trip that's probably going to last about, well, if our plans all have worked out, about 3 months.
This is just a crazy busy week for us. We're getting the RV service, topping off the propane, packing the RV, and then taking off across the South and Southwest U.S. And we'll hit the road right after this episode is released.
Yeah, it's, you know, you don't think that there's that much to pack, but there really is. And, you know, different clothes, different accessories, our hiking sticks, all my gear, it becomes quite an operation. I have like a 2-page list now of all of our stuff that I have to bring. And you just kind of put it all together and just go through it. You don't make a list at all, do you?
What
you
have to bring? No, I probably should make a list, but I don't.
Well, I am I'm impressed. This is going to be a fun trip. Lots of great adventures planned. We start off with a great big circle tour of Florida.
And speaking of Florida, we'll be doing a meetup at the Ocala RV Show in Ocala, Florida, Saturday, February 29th, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Sunshine State RVs display. And we look forward to meeting our Florida followers and snowbird friends wintering down there.
Yep, lots of people in mid-Florida, so come see us. Ocala RV Show, we'll put that on in the show notes, and it's always fun to say hi. We're thinking of a couple other meet and greets down in the Sunshine State over the next month or so, but that one's for sure is on the schedule. Saturday, February 29th, we have other plans. We're going to be visiting the Space Coast, taking it all the way down to Key West for a few days. We've got a really good site in the Everglades that we're looking forward to, and then Naples. And we'll be checking out a brand new RV resort. We've had requests to do a story about this a couple of times, and we got an invitation from the folks in Summerfield, Florida, at the new Sunkissed Village RV resort for the over 55 crowd. So we're going to go check that out. We'll let you know. I think what won Jennifer over is when she saw that they have a pretty good fitness center there.
Woohoo! Yeah. And then on up and along the Gulf Coast, first to Texas, and then heading all the way to New Mexico.
So we're going to be doing a lot of research and photos for all of our 7-day adventure guides. Now, we do have a 7-day adventure guide already out on the Gulf Coast of Florida, and we're planning 2 more Florida adventure guides, one on the Atlantic Coast side, and then one just on the Keys. So we're really excited about that, and we hope to start releasing those in just a couple of weeks. Shouldn't be long.
And if you have some suggestions of things we should see and do and report about, just send them to us via email. You can email us anytime at mikeandjen@rvlifestyle.com.
And we do love to get those emails. We have videos and blog posts and lots of social media updates that we do on our travels and our meetups and our adventures. And if people are wondering how the best way to get a hold of us, many of you know about our RV Lifestyle Facebook page, our RV Lifestyle Facebook group. But probably the social media that we're having the most fun with is Instagram. So if you've not followed us on Instagram, you can do so. We're at Mike, at RV Lifestyle Mike. RV Lifestyle Mike. We'll be doing lots of Instagram posts on this trip. And we've been doing a lot of YouTube stories. Now, you can only see those on your mobile device, and you have to be a subscriber to the RV Lifestyle channel. I just started using them, I think, on Sunday. I did a couple of quicks, a little 15-second video blurbs. And we had like 6,000 people who've watched these little blurbs in just a couple of days. So so if you've not subscribed to our channel, there's another way, because we'll be doing YouTube lives and maybe some Instagram lives as well. Again, our Instagram handle is RV Lifestyle Mike. And we have Instagram's just a lot of fun. It's a really quick way to share stuff. It's fun to see everybody, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. Hey, this part of the podcast brought to you by Dish Outdoors. Dish Outdoors lets RVers pay as they go and watch HD satellite television from wherever they're camped in their RV. Easy to set up gear, made for the RVer. If you look at what we have in our RV, we have the new HD satellite receiver, very compact receiver called the Wally, made particularly for RV travelers. Very small and compact, super easy to set up. And we also have the Dish Playmaker portable satellite antenna up on our roof. It the Wally receiver automatically connects to that antenna, which automatically locks into the best satellite. You don't have to go up and point it around the sky. It does it all automatically. And what's so neat about Dish Outdoors is you can pay as you go for service just a month at a time. You don't have to have a long-term contract. Get a special price if you use the coupon code RVLifestyle at checkout. Normally, that receiver and the antenna cost $348, but if you use the coupon code RVLifestyle, you get $50 off that. So the whole bundle is just $298. And again, you don't have to subscribe to service for long-term contracts. You can do it just by month. Best way for you to find out more is to go to our special link, rvlifestyle.com/dish. rvlifestyle.com/dish.
News. Mike's got news. RV news, travel news, inside information and trends that shape the RV lifestyle. Here's the RV news of the week.
California state parks are in the process of building a new 110-site Oceanside campground at Fort Ord Dunes State Park. The state park opened about a decade ago off Highway 1 near Seaside. It is a former Army base with 4 miles of breathtaking coastline on the Pacific Ocean. Currently, the land is a favorite of surfers and beach walkers. The state plans to start construction on the campground this fall and open it in 2022.
And speaking of new state parks, Utah state legislators want to create a Utah Raptor State Park that will recognize Utah's dinosaur discoveries and provide a second entrance to the Arches National Park. The mayor of Moab spoke in favor of this, saying that the community has had a lot of problems with people boondocking in areas where they're not allowed, causing community cleanup issues. The spot of this proposed new state park is 15 miles north of Moab, where the Utah Raptor was discovered. And that site was also an internment camp in World War II, so a lot of history there. Good luck on that, another state park in Utah.
Longtime readers know we have reported at length over the years about the shortage of RV service technicians. We'll put links in the show notes to those stories. Anyway, it was with interest we read a story in RV Business about RV parks hiring their own RV technicians as a side revenue source and a way to help campers. Hiring RV technicians and employing them at a large campground makes sense to us. To read the story, just go to the show notes for this episode at rvlifestyle.com/282. That's rvlifestyle.com/282.
A story about a court deciding in favor of a 2016 London Air Class A RV owner against Newmar Corporation, which is now owned by Winnebago, caught our eye over the weekend. The owner of the pricey new RV sued Newmar under various lemon laws, according to a story in RV Travel, after he experienced numerous breakdowns, 9 in a 2-year time. Influencing this RV owner's decision to buy the London Air was a promised extensive service network with well-trained technicians. Y'all heard that before, right? But according to the story, as this RV continuously broke down on trips in Oregon and in California, the owner discovered service technicians were not trained at all on this model, could not fix the RV, and that left him without a rig for months. Apparently, Newmar placed some blame on subcomponent manufacturers, but ultimately, Newmar was found responsible.
If you camp with your pet and plan to use a Pennsylvania state park in 2021, you will have more campsite options. Pennsylvania State Park campgrounds only permit camping with your dog or cat in certain campsites. By 2021, 46 new spots and 6 campgrounds will open up to pets.
We've seen that a couple of times in other places, like I think of Letchworth State Park in New York. They have parks sites that are only for, you know, no dogs, no pets, kind of like hotel rooms.
Yeah.
And I think it's more of an East Coast thing, but we've talked before, pets and more importantly, irresponsible pet owners who don't clean up or aren't paying attention to their pets when they make little deposits and clean them up. That's responsible for so much of the hassle that all pet owners have to go through. So,
and then I think that means that you can't walk your pet, I wouldn't think of it, through those loops that don't allow dogs to camp there.
I think you can walk them if you stay on the road, but you don't.
You know, I don't know, yeah. Because, you know, people don't want, you know, yeah, the dogs going on everything, I guess.
Yeah, well, that's what they do. That's another thing about
it. If you have a male dog particularly, he's got to mark everything.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hey, this part of the podcast brought to you by Rad Power Bikes. You've seen them. If you've been out camping at all, you see why Rad Power Bikes are America's number one e-bike brand. That's because, for one thing, they offer direct-to-consumer pricing. You can get a Rad Power Bike for about half the cost of comparable bikes on the market because they're dealing directly with you, not through a retail chain. Rad Power Bikes are powerful premium electric bikes. They will ship them to you free, and they're very easy to put together. They're built for everything. They're priced for everyone. They have different e-bike models that fit every possible rider want or need that you might have. They all can go up to 20 miles an hour with zero pedaling. You have the choice to ride pedal-free with throttle. You can utilize 5 different levels of pedal assist for an added boost, or you can combine them. They're perfect for people who want to get back into riding, maybe recovering from surgery or injury, or just looking for a little extra boost to keep up with friends and family and still get out there and enjoy all that an e-bike can bring. You can go between 20 and 40 miles on a single charge. And if you mention RV Lifestyle at checkout, they'll give you an additional $75 off. Plus, you get free shipping. Here's where you got to go. RadPowerBikes.com. Visit RadPowerBikes.com.
Questions? You've got them. Mike and his network of RV reporters have the answers. Here's one of our questions of the week.
All right, this one comes via email. And again, if you want to email us a question, just email us at MikeandJen@RVLifestyle.com. MikeandJen@RVLifestyle.com. This one comes from Cindy, who says, we just got our 2020 Lisa Travel Vans FX, which is the same model Jennifer and I have, except we have the 2019. Any great tips on how you store or haul your outdoor chairs with the very small exterior compartments? That's a good question. And those outside compartments are pretty small for most chairs.
Right. You just have to get the small chairs that fold up. Very, very tiny. The chairs that I had become used to carrying, I can't carry unless I want to carry them on the inside and maybe wrap a blanket around them so that they don't bang up the wood on the interior. Or you can, if you have a ladder on the back, you can hook them to the ladder.
You won't let me do that.
No, I won't.
You say we look like the Beverly Hillbillies. No. If I wanted to do it. We do have a ladder in the back, and I got to say that was in the back of my mind.
We could hang some of the laundry out there to dry as we're going down
could.
The road.
It would dry fast. You're going 80 miles an hour.
And I heard one woman say once she put the dirty clothes in the bathroom sink so the water could, splash really? Around when they're driving down the road.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. But,
That the chairs are an issue. We're starting our ninth year now of this RV lifestyle, and we've had these chairs now for all 9 years. They're called Pico chairs, P-I-C-O, and they're telescoping chairs. They fit up, they fold down or compress and telescope down to about the size of a laptop, and they have a covering case if you want, although we've long since lost that.
It's in the garage. We just don't take it with us.
Probably. But we do have the Pico telescoping chairs. I'll put a link in the show notes. I think they're kind of pricey, but I mean, ours have lasted 9 years.
One has lasted.
Well, both of
one
them
One is
were.
Questionable.
Well, I always take that.
I have the world's longest legs. Yeah. I tip over that one chair.
I think they're great, and we know many other people have bought these. We should have an affiliate relationship. We don't, but I wish we did. Well, we do with Amazon, so I'll put a link on Amazon to them. So check them out. We'll put a link to these chairs. They do fold up, and they will fit. I have both of ours in one of the outside storage bins on the driver's side, and they fit in there fine. I also keep like our hiking boots and a bunch of stuff like that in there too. So plenty of room.
They are the chairs that we found that will fit.
They will fit. And anything bigger than that, you're going to either have to carry it inside or have a spouse that will let you put it on the back ladder, and unlike mine. All right. So that's one question. That was from Cindy. And we had a really interesting question from our RV Lifestyle Facebook group. And let me read this. This comes from Juliana. And she said, the Jayco RV we have a deposit on has a soft floor in front of the oven and the bunks. The dealer thinks it's standard wear. The dealer said they would have their service department, quote, look at it, and they would call Jayco about it. Anybody have soft floors from standard wear? Feels like it's soft in between the beams. Thoughts? Says Juliana. Well, that answer on our RV Lifestyle Facebook group brought a huge response. When I checked last, there was like more than 80 RVers weighing in on this. And the overwhelming consensus for Juliana was don't walk away from the deal, run away from the deal. The soft floor is not because of a little bit of extra wear. It's most likely caused by water damage, according to all those who were weighing in on the discussion. We will put a link to that post and the comments. And after reading all of those comments, by the way, Juliana did follow the advice and she canceled the deal and is now shopping for a new one. But it's an interesting post. And that's one of the things I love about our RV Lifestyle group. There's a lot of people there always ready to help out and to share their expertise. And that is always a good thing.
Hey, fellow travelers. Want to have your voice featured on the RV podcast?
Send us your questions or comments. Send an audio file to mike@rvlifestyle.com. Or better yet, use our RV podcast voicemail number, 586-372-6990. 586-372-6990.
We want to hear from you. Call 586-372-6990.
This part of the RV podcast is brought to you by Battleborne Batteries, makers of quality, safe, and reliable lithium batteries that can be installed in just about every RV. We have Battleborne Batteries in our Leisure Travel Van's FX unit. We put them in about a year ago, right after we got it, and have been just thrilled in all seasons and all conditions. I'll tell you why we like lithium so much. We like to camp off the grid, and we depend more and more on our batteries when we do that. And the lithium just offers so much better performance. They charge faster. They charge fuller. They're longer lasting. They're maintenance free. And the team of battery experts at Battleborn are familiar with almost all the existing components in your RV, regardless of whether you have a Class A, a C, or a B van, or a travel trailer, or a cab over, Class C, whatever it is, don't worry. They know those vans and those RVs well, and they can help you figure out what size lithium you need, how many. They can match it with the right cabling or inverter or charger, solar controller. Just check them out. We, again, have one, a Battleborn system in our RV. We really rely on it for our boondocking. If you want to learn more, just go over to their website. It's rvlifestyle.com/lithium. That's rvlifestyle.com/lithium.
Time now for the RV Podcast Interview of the Week. Interesting, entertaining, and helpful information about the RV lifestyle. Here's Mike with this week's interview.
This week in our interview of the week, we continue our series of interviewing various RV influencers, people who have YouTube channels or blogs or are somehow involved in reporting on the RV industry. This week, our guest is Anthony Nally. Anthony is the executive producer of a brand new Discovery and PBS show called The RVers. And we got a chance to sit down and talk with Anthony about that program, but more importantly, his love of RVing and what it has done to his lifestyle, how it has improved. We welcome to the program Anthony Nally. Well, Anthony, thank you so much for making time for us on this. It's a delight to spend some time with you.
My pleasure, Mike. Absolutely. A real honor to be here with you.
First, though, let's start with a broad description. For those who don't know what the RVers are, and that's hard to believe that there'd be many, but there are some, I'm sure. Let's talk about this, and then we'll get into your story and how it all came about.
Well, sure thing. The RVers is a new television series that premiered in November of 2019 on Discovery Channel, and is now airing also on PBS across the country, on Fun Roads TV, and digitally on Apple TV, YouTube TV, Google Play, Microsoft Xbox, Vudu, Amazon Prime, and on premiere day, speaking of Apple TV, on premiere day it reached the number one spot for nonfiction titles, beating Oak Island and This Week Tonight with John Oliver. So
wow.
we're pretty proud of that.
Now, the title, The RVers, Loving, Living, walk us through the premise of this series.
Well, the title, The RVers, really, it's a very simple title. And it really comes from the series that it spun from, which is The Aviators, which is our other TV show that we've had for the past decade that has become the world's most popular aviation TV series. It airs in over 100 countries to over 50 million viewers, including over 10 million weekly viewers on PBS. Very simple title, but it, I think, says what it is. And the tagline of Loving Living is just really, to me, what RVing is. It's changed my life, and it's enabled me to really live my life. And I am loving living.
How did it come about? Now, you, very successful producer, The Aviators. You are first and foremost, though, an RVer yourself.
Absolutely. I do TV shows about things that are important to me, that I'm passionate about, and that have made an impact on my life. And since I was a tyke, I've always loved the concept of RVing, even though I didn't know anything about it. Our family never RV'd. But there was a show when I was a kid, a Saturday morning show on CBS called Ark 2. I think it was like a post-apocalyptic little craft that roamed the earth in a little mobile science lab. And to me, that was an RV. So if we had a fridge box or a new appliance that we had that came in a big box, I would invariably cut holes in it and draw things on it to turn it into one of two things, either an airplane or an RV. And so I've always had the passion for both of those things. So why did it take so long for me to get into RVing? I don't know.
When did you get into it?
In 2015. So for someone who's 53 years old now and has had kind of an itch for RVing since I was probably 7 or 8 years old, just from this little TV show that really wasn't RV related at all. Why did it take me more than 40 years to do it? You know, we sort of dipped our toe in the RV bath, as it were, and then backed off, you know? I mean, if you don't know anything about RVing, you can be very intimidated by the vast choices that are available. And we would go to an RV show or a dealer and just get overwhelmed by the amount of choices. And then we would say, okay, well, let's go and digest that and think about it for a couple of days. And then 10 years goes by. And unfortunately, that happened a couple of times, and that's way too much time lost.
2015 comes. Now, we're looking at you in your Class B Active 2.0.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of two RVs you have.
It is, and it's not the first two RVs we had. We actually started in a used Class A toy hauler, an Outlaw, a Damon Outlaw, now Thor Outlaw. And we loved it. We absolutely loved it. And, you know, we were seeing so much of the country flying into a city and doing some filming there for the aviators and then flying out and then flying to another city and filming and flying out. So we were going to a lot of places and seeing absolutely nothing airports.
That is so, we can certainly relate to that. Most of my career was out as an investigative reporter for 40 years, and I was everywhere. They used to take ads out saying I'm the most traveled reporter.
But you'd see nothing.
I just would fly in, parachute journalism, use the beautiful scenery as a backdrop for a stand-up, and then off to the next story. That's how we got into RVing.
Well,
my wife and I wanted to go back and see the world.
Then it's a common story, because we thought if we're going to all these places anyway, and we're spending a lot of time in airports and traveling, why don't we spend a little bit more time and drive to where we're going, spend some time once we're there, take care of business, but then enjoy what that destination has to offer.
What is it that appeals to this lifestyle first to you, and then what is it that the television program conveys to others about this?
Well, you know, we didn't go into this thinking we're going to become YouTubers or we're going to turn this into a TV show. We did this because of an honest passion and a desire to finally see the places that we were traveling to and enjoy them. And we thought we would... I mean, we started off full-time. That wasn't the plan originally, but we thought we're going to be spending so much time away from home. Why not just get rid of the home? Why not just full-time and jump in? And we thought we would full-time for a year and then get back into a house and very likely continue RVing, but just change how we do it. 5 years later, we're still full-timing, and we love it. Not to say full-timing is the way to do it. Any way that you RV is the right way to do it, whatever way works for you. For us, that was our plan. And we wanted to change our plan after a year, but we didn't, because you can do that. You can do whatever you want in RVing. It's ultimately about freedom. But while we were doing our little RVing excursion for a year and seeing things and enjoying things, a strange thing happened. It really was a transformative period in our lives. And speaking for myself, I mean... A doctor, just recently I had a physical, and my doctor that I had known for 25 years took my blood pressure, and he said, oh my God, your blood pressure has never been so low. You must be living some kind of a fantastic life. And I said, you know what? I am. I truly am. I used to have a little bit of a nervous thing, a little bit of a twitch in my eye that would occur when... The stress levels were getting a little high. You know, life gets busy for people, and for me that was a manifestation. I like being busy, but for me that was a manifestation that internally I need to maybe cool it for a minute, take a breath. And that little twitch would happen sometimes a couple times a day, almost every single day. And over the last 5 years since I've been RVing, I can count on one hand how many times it's happened. I can remember probably about three times. It really is life-altering. It allows you to enjoy your life. And that's where the tagline, loving living, comes from. I mean, you got to live your life. You have to enjoy your life. Tomorrow is not guaranteed. So we see so many people in our travels. Oh, you're living my life. You're living my dream. I plan on doing what you're doing when I retire. Why are you waiting? What are you waiting for? I mean, certainly there's people who need to work in a physical location and can't travel, but for those people, there's weekending, there's taking a vacation on the road rather than, you know, flying to the Caribbean or whatnot. There's lots of ways to RV, and all of them are fantastic, and you got to do it. Just do it.
Now, when it came time to pitch the Discovery Channel, this concept for a program, you, of course, had a great track record with the aviators, so they're going to listen to you. But what were their thoughts when you first came up with this idea?
Well, Discovery Channel sort of was not the original plan. I mean, we have a long-standing relationship with PBS, and the plan was always, right from the beginning, to produce the show and give it to the 350-odd PBS stations that are out there and have them do with it what they did with the aviators. And we're still doing that. But then an opportunity came where Discovery Channel sort of said, hey, we're kind of interested in what you're doing there with the RVers. Do you have something you could show us? And we did, and they loved it. And they thought, well, we'd like to run this show too. So we have a non-exclusive with Discovery, which is why we didn't lose PBS. We just added Discovery Channel, which is tremendous that we can do that. Discovery saw that we had the production quality that we've, I think, become known for over the past decade with the aviators, and we're catering to a lifestyle that is certainly immense and growing, and that certainly means an audience for them. So PBS is happy, Discovery Channel's happy, we're happy. Hopefully our viewers are happy. I know our hosts and our production team are thrilled. And our sponsors are happy, which is very important to us as well.
And the concept of the show is you have different hosts, kind of anchored by our friends, the Geeks, right. Peter and John, and they travel different places. There's different challenges they overcome, different serendipity discoveries. Walk us through all of that.
Yep, you mentioned the RV Geeks, Peter and John. They're hosts of the show. They're also co-executive producers of the show. They're very actively involved. Cherie and Chris of Technomadia were involved in season one. And Tom and Kate Morton of Morton's on the Move are also hosts on the show. As well as myself, I'm also one of the hosts of the show. A little less involved in season one. I'll be increasing my involvement moving forward. The interesting thing is the show really isn't about any of the hosts per se. So it's not sort of a travelogue of things that we're doing and look at what I'm having for lunch today. It's not like that. It's really about the lifestyle and about the various challenges that new RVers or even experienced RVers can encounter and hopefully overcome. And the hosts really just serve as facilitators of that information as people with experience who can be conversant in those topics. The show is absolutely not reality-based. We don't drum up any false drama and make all sorts of unusual conflicts that have to be resolved. It's not about that. It's really about real things that happen to real RVers, whether you're new, whether you're experienced, whether you're familiar with every aspect of RVing, which I think very few of us really truly are, or just, you know, little narrow parts of the RVing world. We really want to cover every topic in every space of RVing so that there's always going to be something that a given viewer can pull away from a given segment at any time and think, that's interesting. It's maybe a new aspect of RVing that I'm unfamiliar with that you've interested me in, and I am curious to look into it and learn more about it. It's really just a way to introduce RVing to people who, like me, were dreamers for a very long time, or introduce new concepts relating to RVing to people who perhaps have been RVing for a long time.
Now, when you've been in it certainly long enough to have seen some changes in a very rapidly evolving industry. What has surprised you, and where do you see the big changes and excitement coming over the next few years?
Well, RVing, as I've learned over the past few years, has largely evolved relatively slowly, year over year, decade over decade. But I think there's probably a shift that's in the works. With technology so rapidly evolving in every aspect of our lives, it's very difficult, if not impossible, for that rapid technological advancement to ignore the RVing space. And I think everyone in the RV manufacturing area, from OEMs to third-party producers of products, are looking for ways to, in some cases, truly revolutionize how things are being done. I know we're at a Dometic function here, and I know Dometic is leading the way largely in sort of that that evolution and revolution. But they're not the only one. There's a lot of companies that think that things can be done better, different, which is not necessarily a bad thing, and certainly to the benefit of the industry and the community and RVers at large. And I think what's coming up in RVing, I mean, they're talking about self-driving cars and you know, Ubers that fly you to your destination and pilotless vehicles being a matter of a handful of years away. That's coming to RVing too, self-driving. Not that I have any insight on self-driving RVs or anything, but if that kind of technology exists in the automotive space, in the trucking space, in the aviation space, how can RVing be left behind? It certainly won't be. It's a very exciting time. It really, really, really is.
Well, Anthony, we will put links to all of the information about the RVers in our description below. And hey, I just want to thank you for spending some time with us. We have thoroughly enjoyed the program, and we know many of our viewers and listeners will do the same. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. It's a real thrill to have done it. I love what you do, Mike and Jen. You do such great, great work, and it's my pleasure to be working with you today. Thank you.
What a nice guy, huh?
Very nice guy.
Yep, we enjoyed spending some time with Anthony. We've actually run into him twice in the last month, once in Florida and once in Arizona, and okay, well, let's sit him down and put him on, get him on the interview of the week, and we did. Great guy, and so much fun. You ever think the idea of a driverless RV, does that appeal to you?
Certainly.
Yeah, you already have one. You don't have to drive. I do all your driving. No, that's not true. You were driving. We have a video out this week. We put a video of our desert exploration, and we ended up 10 miles down a bumpy road. We had some pretty cool finds down there. If you see that on our YouTube channel. But you ended up driving that.
Yes, because I can drive as slow as a turtle. Doesn't bother me at all. And it was so beautiful. I just enjoyed looking around, and it doesn't bother me at all. You just go slow.
You are putting it very nicely. Really, you didn't want me driving because it was a washboard road and you were afraid of me wrecking the RV, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was fun. It was fun. Anyway, we did a video version of that interview with Anthony, and there'll be a little bit of video that show you what the RV show looks like and a little more insight into the program and Anthony's background. So just look at the show notes for this or go to our YouTube channel, the youtube.com/RV Lifestyle, and you can find it'll be posted with this podcast and also in our show notes at rvlifestyle.com/282. The interview of the week brought to you every week by our friends at sunshinestaterv.com, where every new motorhome is delivered to the customer's driveway free anywhere in the continental U.S. If that's what you want to do, they'll take it, bring it to you. We're excited. We're going to be spending some time on Saturday, the 29th of February at the Ocala RV Show from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. We'll be at the Sunshine State RVs display with our friends Nick and Craig from Sunshine State RVs. So come by and say hello to us. You can take a look at, they have a full line of new RVs, the Winnebago Travato, the Era, the Coachman, American Patriot, Fleetwood, IROC, all sorts of them. Plus, they have a huge inventory of used, in stock right now, previously owned RVs from the early 90s to the current year, everything in between from all the most popular brands. They specialize in small motorhomes, and you really need to check them out. SunshineStateRVs.com. Every RV they sell goes through this very thorough 172-point inspection. They make sure everything works the way it should. SunshineStateRVs.com. We'll see you in Ocala on February 29th, 11 to 1 at the Sunshine State RVs booth at the Ocala RV Show.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path,
a unique RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook.
Here's Mike.
And time now to check in with our regular Off the Beaten Path reporters, Tom and Patty Burkett.
Hi, Mike and Jennifer. If you're like most of us, by the time you get close to Glacier National Park, you're anxious to be there and begin enjoying the incomparable sights, sounds, and smells it offers. As you head for the entrance at St. Mary or Babb, you zip through Browning, Montana on US 89 without a sideways glance. And when you do, you miss some things worth a good look, even though the mountains are calling. First and foremost, as we see it, is the Museum of the Plains Indian on the north side of the highway as you're heading west.
It doesn't look at all impressive. The building may be an old school. If not, it was built to resemble one, an elementary school from the 40s. When we visited, we wondered until we actually pulled open the front door if it was operating. Sure enough, in the cool, bright interior, we found what we were looking for. A native woman in traditional dress greeted us at the desk and explained the museum's layout, the special exhibits, and welcomed us as the first visitors of the day.
Although there were nice displays of pottery and basketwork, some paintings and blankets, and nicely worked silver and turquoise jewelry, the standout items in the collection were the dresses and shawls. Made of hand-woven fabric and supple deerskin, they were worked with exquisite designs in beads, quills, and silver ornaments. Some had eagle, hawk, raven, and crow feathers. Some were pure white, and others dyed rich, deep colors. As we moved from gallery to gallery, we were humbled by the artistry and patience required to make such things, and certain of the pride with which they were worn.
Off the main exhibits is a workshop area where artisans can gather and create. There was a painter working the day we visited, and he encouraged us to sit down on the comfy couch and watch one of several films on offer about native life and history. Doing so, we found out about the only deadly encounter between the Lewis and Clark expedition and Native Americans, in which a Blackfeet youth was shot in a clash between the two groups.
Browning has a few more surprises to offer. There's the Little Flower Church, built in 1931 from local rocks, hauled in by the basketload by parishioners, and the Glacier Peaks Casino, where we enjoyed an excellent bowl of rice and hamburger soup. If you happen to be here in July, don't miss the chance to be part of North American Indian Days at the Browning Powwow Grounds. This is the governmental and cultural center of the Blackfeet Nation and has special atmosphere all its own. Enjoy the mountain view from a little ways away and spend an hour or three in Browning out here off the beaten path.
We've been in Browning.
We have.
We have. It's a delightful town. And of course, it's just spectacular countryside. And the Blackfeet Nation, what a wonderful place. We've stayed at a resort there a couple of times and really enjoyed it. We'll have a link to the American Indian Plains Museum that in Browning that the Birgits talked about in the show notes for this episode, which you'll find at rvlifestyle.com/282.
What's happening? Time now to check the RV calendar of events and gatherings you need to know about.
Well, we've got a whole bunch of them. We are in the middle of RV show season, and there are so many of them. This is what's going on just this weekend. Of course, this episode being released on February 19th, 2020. And here's what's coming up this following weekend. Let's start off February 14th to 23rd. It began last weekend. It's going on until this coming Sunday, the 23rd. The Indianapolis Boat, Sport, and Travel Show at the Indiana State Fairgrounds in Indianapolis. The 20th through the 23rd this weekend, Dallas RV Super Show at the Dallas Market Hall in Dallas, Texas. The 20th through the 23rd of February, the Red Deer RV Show, Westerner Park in Red Deer, Alberta, Canada. February 20th through the 23rd, the West Palm Beach RV Show at the South Florida Fairgrounds in West Palm Beach. February 21st through the 23rd, the Birmingham RV Super Show at the BJCC in Birmingham, Alabama. February 21st through the 23rd, the Harrisburg RV and Camping Show at the Pennsylvania Farm Show Complex and Expo Center in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. February 21st through the 23rd, the Maryland RV Show at the Maryland State Fairgrounds in Timonium, Maryland. The 21st through the 23rd of February, the Pennsylvania Adventure RV Expo at the Blair County Convention Center in Altoona, Pennsylvania. February 21st through the 23rd, the Raleigh RV Show at the State Fairgrounds in Raleigh, North Carolina. And wrapping it up, February 21st through the 23rd, the St. Louis RV Vacation and Travel Show at America's Center and the Dome in St. Louis, Missouri. Links to all of those shows, you'll find them in the show notes for this episode at rvlifestyle.com/282. Go there, scroll down, you'll see the calendar, and click on them and you'll get all the details on each of those shows. Again, that's rvlifestyle.com/282.
And that wraps up another episode of the RV Podcast with Mike and Jennifer Wendland.
New episodes are released every Wednesday, and the best way to stay connected is to subscribe to the RV Podcast.
We're in all the popular podcast apps, and you can also listen on the RVLifestyle.com travel blog.
Till next time, happy trails, fellow travelers. We'll be looking for you down the road.
Well, thank you guys so much for listening. We will be back every Wednesday with another episode. Next week, we will have an interview with the new CEO of Road Trek, who will talk to us about the new emphasis on quality as Road Trek starts to build again under new ownership. You'll find that interesting, a very interesting interview if you're a Class B owner or one of those Road Trek owners who are trying to figure out what's happening with that company since it went out of business and has been now bought by a new company. You'll meet the new CEO next week in the interview of the week. Hey, on behalf of our dog Bo, who we've had now for 4 years, we just put a picture of him up on Facebook when he was a puppy.
Yeah, some puppies have to grow into their paws. Bo had to grow into his ears.
He did. Hey, I'm Mike Wendland.
And I'm Jennifer Wendland.
And Bo says, well, Bo's not with us. He would. Yep,
he's sleeping. We're doing this at night. It's dark.
Yeah, we're recording this
at
night.
As soon as it gets dark, he goes to bed.
Bo goes to bed at night because he'll be waking us up at crack of dawn. We have to take him to the dog park. Wherever we are, we have to find a dog park. Hey, thank you guys so much for listening. We'll see you next week on the RV Podcast. Leave us a review and tell some friends about it, and we'll see you in a week. Bye-bye.
Happy trails.